I think there's a New Testament principle we must rediscover and we must practice for our own spiritual growth and for the growth of the assembly. And I'm talking about hospitality. It's one of the issues of the New Testament church that may surprise you, but there's a lot about it in the Scripture. And hospitality is very, very important to us as believers. Alex Strouk has written two books on biblical eldership and a book on deacons. And they're excellent books, well-developed, they're thorough, and they go into great detail about the life of the New Testament church. And it's interesting that after he wrote those two books, he followed up with a small book on hospitality. It's kind of interesting. One would think maybe he would follow it up on the Lord's Supper or baptism or discipline or something else. But he wrote a key little book on hospitality. And I think that perhaps we should rediscover what hospitality can do for us, what it can do for the body of Christ. It's a principle that comes out quite often in New Testament church that will help us be used by God and help the growth of the New Testament church. Now, I don't want to say much more about our times. Our times are times of privatization, individualism. Our modern homes have large master suites hidden out of the way with fireplaces, entertainment centers, and everything else. Free country. They're great. But many of our homes are not designed for these sort of things. There's so much privatization. And one of my favorite authors, his name is Kent Hughes. Kent Hughes is the pastor of a church in Wheaton. And Kent Hughes writes some very simple, preceptive things. A few years ago, I read a book by him called Liberating Ministry from Success Syndrome. And I found it to be deeply moving. Well, Kent Hughes says something about, a comment about our times. He says, today's homes reflect our modern values of individualization, isolation, privatization. And we all have needs and we want people to meet our needs, to involve themselves in our lives. So I'd like to look at what the Scripture says this morning about hospitality, a simple truth, and something I think that can be a challenge to us. There's no doubt about it that in the Scriptures there's great emphasis upon practicing hospitality. And not only that, but the practical implications of hospitality are very significant. When we think of hospitality, we think of the practical implications of building up people in the body of Christ and learning some things. One of the things, it is not a spiritual gift. Now, the reason I want to mention this is because if you think it's a spiritual gift, you think, I can't be involved in it. I don't have the gift. That's not really on the list of spiritual gifts. Now, very definitely, some people did open their homes who had special ability. For example, in the New Testament time, some people had wealth. Philemon was a wealthy man. He at least owned one slave, and he was wealthy, and he opened his home to the church, a church man in his home. Aquila and Priscilla, wherever these two tent makers went to support themselves, always involved themselves in the local church. And they always, whatever home they rented, they didn't have homes bought around the Roman Empire. Wherever they rented a home, they had people in their homes. And in fact, when they heard Apollos, these two tent makers heard Apollos, and Apollos, a very eloquent man from Alexandria, which is a special place at that time in the Roman world, and they invited him home. And around whatever they ate in those times, their beefy jerky or whatever they were eating in those times, they talked to him about his message. So there were people who did these things, and Philemon opened his home, Priscilla and Aquila. Later on, we read about a man in 3 John by the name of Gaius, and John says, whatever you do to the strangers and to the brethren, and you do it well. And one of the words of commendation that John had for this man, Gaius, is the fact that he opened his home. And he opened his heart. Now, on the list of gifts, showing mercy is a gift. And I think that's different than hospitality. Showing mercy as a gift means I spend myself in a place where I can get nothing back. here's a handicapped, here's a sick, here's an elderly, here's someone who can do nothing for me, and I show mercy to them by ministering to them. That's a gift. And also on the gift in Romans 12, is giving with liberality. And there are some people like Gaius, Philemon, Priscilla and Aquila, who had a little extra, and they could give, but they gave generously and openly. Let's look at the New Testament word, all right? There's nothing real secret here. Any of us who have Bible programs now, especially Strong's, are experts in theology. You can click on your Strong, click on the number, and it'll define any Greek term, and we're all pretty smart at that now. We're all getting pretty good at Greek. See, we're all getting experts at this subject because it's a Bible program. But it's very simple. It's a combination of two words, and it simply means love of strangers. Now, the context just doesn't limit it to strangers, but it means love of strangers. And here's one of the places where it's used. You don't have to look up all of these verses if you want to find, but at least write them down, Romans 12:13. He says, distributing to the necessity, needs of the saints, given to hospitality. And then in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, the writer of Hebrews said, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing some have unwittingly entertained angels. So entertain strangers, showing love to people. Showing love to people. And the other one is given to hospitality. Then there are other forms. For example, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, you have the word hospitable. We'll look this up. 1 Timothy 3:2, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, good behavior, hospitable, able to teach. Very interesting, isn't it? It's on the list of the qualifications of being an elder. Titus also puts it that way, Titus 1:8. And Titus 1:8 is also speaking about the qualification for leadership. And I'll mention that as we move on. So this word hospitable also is used. Peter uses it in 1 Peter 4:9. And Peter says, be hospitable one to another, and then he adds a qualification without grumbling. See, be hospitable one another, but don't be whiners and complainers. So Peter brings this word out. And 1 Timothy 5:10 is also talking about widows. And 1 Timothy 5:10 says, and speaking of widows, well reported of good works, if she had brought up children, if she had lodged strangers. And that's the word hospitable. She had lodged strangers. So this is an important word. So it has to do with love of strangers. It has to do with showing hospitality. It has to do with opening our homes to strangers. It has to do with opening our homes to the body of Christ. Because John said to Gaius, the love you show to strangers and to the brethren. So that John was talking about the fact that Gaius opened his home to both the brethren and the strangers who passed through. Now, you and I know in Old Testament times this was very important. Persecution took place. Go to the beginning of Acts and it said they were scattered abroad. And as they were scattered because of persecution, I'm sure as they traveled and had to leave quickly, leaving some of their goods behind, they probably found welcome in homes where people were willing to share and help them move on to the next phase of wherever they were going. And in New Testament times, it's very important. And then you have strangers moving around, these believers who are not known by you. And as they're moving through the Roman world, whether they're on business or whether they're ministering the word, people are told to open their homes and receive these people and welcome them. And that's one of the reasons why letters of commendation were given. Letters of commendation were given to full-time ministers, but they were also taken by other people. A letter of introduction. I would write a letter and say, greet Bob and Judy as they're traveling. They're good people and they won't rip your silver off or whatever else when you turn your back. See? And you give them a little hospitality. So it's an important part. It's in the Word quite a bit. And in modern times, of course, we're talking about opening our homes and sharing our resources, and it's ministering in a practical way. But also we're talking about that it provides opportunities of fellowship for the body of Christ. And I'll get into that in a moment. But I think that is one of the most significant things in our time, a fellowship. Hebrew chapter 13:2, the word is used again, and the idea in 13:2, he talks about entertain strangers, and by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Now, I wouldn't go too far in that. I don't make more or less. But there might be what the author of Hebrews is saying, certainly this may be actually entertaining an angel in the form of a human being. But no doubt about it, he says there's a special blessing from opening our homes and taking the risk to care for people. And we have no idea. Now, the word angel also means messenger. And maybe he's talking about special messengers coming through, but there's a blessing for doing that. So, in our time, well, maybe entertaining, when we speak about strangers, entertaining the speaker, and maybe the grubby musical group that comes through in their van, they're going to put on a Sunday night for us, and they're all kind of dirty, and they got clothes lying on, and we're going to put them up for a couple days. So it can be a lot of things like this. But it's important. And of course, remember this, that we in this world, Peter says, are to consider ourselves strangers and aliens. We're on our way to heaven. This world is not almost citizens of heaven. And we're strangers and we're aliens. And we care for one another in this life journey. Let's look at some of the principles, all right? So I've given you some verses. We're going to focus on some of these verses now. And I'm sure this morning there's nothing profound. My purpose this morning isn't to come up with something you've never heard. My purpose this morning is just one simple thing. That maybe you will be renewed in something you've done and stopped doing, or you will discover that there's a blessing you can be involved in, and you will open your heart and you will open your home. And that's the only real purpose of it. All right, let's look at some principles. The first one, let's go back to Timothy chapter 3. Because if we look at Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, and Titus 1:8, remember I mentioned it's a specific qualification for a man who would be a spiritual leader. It's interesting, isn't it? Oh, we thought the qualification is mastering Daniel 70 weeks. Well, you should know the word. Huh? Or the qualification is being able to run through some book from top to bottom and backwards and in pig Latin. Perhaps. Or to be able to answer every issue about New Testament church. And you should know New Testament church. You should know it well. But one of the qualifications is an open heart. A care for people. And one of the things definitely that an elder needs to be is this. I know I was with the elders years ago when I was home. And I was with Gus and Frank and Dick Schilt. And when we talked about having Fred join us, one of the reasons was because their home was so open and people were coming and going that they were blessing people and they were being used, and we were aware of that. And when we asked Jim Quint to join us later on, it's the same thing. Jim had been entertaining for so long. I'm not here to praise them. But I'm saying this. It is not a duty of an elder. It is not a role of an elder. Oh, I'm going to be an elder. I better do it now. Nah. It is something that is characteristic of them. Their heart is open. We know all about Gus and Nettie. We know all those stories about Gus meeting people at the back door and taking them home and talking to them, and Nettie always having something. But knowing what is going on. So it is not the duty of an elder. That is not the role of an elder. You don't start doing it now to impress us to be an elder. No. It's characteristic of a man who wants to involve himself in the lives of other people. So the first thing, of course, is that the leadership in the local church models this. The leaders ought to be models of hospitality. And so this is one of the things. The ministry is so important to the church, it must be modeled by the leadership in the church. So the leaders monitor, the leaders show, the leaders are an example of it. And this is one of the things that's on the list of qualifications. Why do we miss it? In fact, I think many times we just plain miss the qualifications. I go around and I'm trying to be careful how I say this. I don't mean to since you bring up the negative, but I go around and people ask me questions, how do we know a man's qualified to be an elder? And the one thing I always hear is a man who's functioning as an elder. And I say, no, that's not enough. Man can function as an elder and be a hothead and whatever else. No. The other side of the coin are these qualifications. There are two sides of the coin. And I believe some small assemblies, and I don't just believe it from hearing it, I've seen it, have been forced to take people into leadership that they shouldn't have taken because they've only seen one side of it. And that one side is, well, he's doing a lot of work, we've got to take him. So you don't have to do that. Well, anyway, talk about leaders. The leaders in the local church must model it. And it, one of the best ways to communicate to the body of Christ its importance by having people and entertaining. The next principle is that of practicing hospitality is one of the many that we perform functions in the body of Christ. Romans chapter 12. Go over to Romans chapter 12. Now, we know Romans chapter 12 begins with, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to give your bodies living sacrifice, holy, acceptable in God, which is your reasonable service. When you look at this chapter on Romans 12, he's talking about the characteristics of people who give their life to Christ, not just leaders and not just spiritual gifts. How can I give my body a living sacrifice? All right? So Romans 12, 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Cling to that which is good. Be kindly affectionated one to another in brotherly love, in honoring one another. Not flagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfast in prayer, distributing to the necessary of saints, given to hospitality. These are not for leaders. This is not a list of spiritual gifts. This is what believers should demonstrate to one another. Romans 12, 1 and 2 is talking about every Christian laying down their lives. And one of the characteristics of laying down our life may be showing hospitality, opening our hearts, opening our homes. And Paul is, I think, listing practical ways the body of Christ functions as a body. And so I think it's really important. And there's a point here. It is listed as something we should all do as a fulfillment of our responsibilities as members of the bodies of Christ. And remember, Romans 12, 1 and 2 is in the context of all believers giving their body. Well, what this then does is broaden the concept of hospitality. First of all, leaders need to model it. But it goes beyond leadership and it broadens the concept of hospitality that it is something that all believers should be aware of, that we should be conscious of. It's a way of evolving ourselves in the body of Christ. And so it broadens the ministry of hospitality from the realm of leadership and brings it right down home to all of our hearts and our lives. Hospitality, then, is something that all believers can show. Now, I know we talk about personalities, and we talk about, well, I'm not the personality. I don't have that kind of character. Well, I know that may be true. And I'm an open person. When Don and I are home and I'm not traveling, we always entertain. We love it. That's part of my character, my personality. But the Bible isn't just pointing that out. The Bible's not saying if you have a nice personality, you're a big talker, and you like to have people around because you get lonely, invite people over. See, that's not what the Bible says. So I'd like to state this a little clearly, that I believe that this hospitality is something we can all involve ourselves in one way or the other. And I think it's rather important. So, when we do this, we have the honor and privilege sometimes of entertaining, as the author of Hebrews said, angels unaware, and entertaining people where we might be greatly blessed. All right, another principle that helps us in this is a practice that helps us concern our attitudes toward the body of Christ. First Peter says this, and I think this is important. All right, I looked this up before, 1 Peter 4:9. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Now, why would that take place? Well, it takes time. Say, I may want my beauty rest Sunday afternoons, and my only day off, and I don't want to be disturbed, and I need my this, and I need my that, and it takes resources. You have to go out and buy the roast or whatever you're going to buy, and you have to put it in the oven, and you have to cook it. But the point is, it does take this effort. Peter says, doing it without complaining. What we're really doing when we show hospitality is inviting people into our home, inviting people into our kind of private space, and a sense of wanting to know them and share with them and let them share with us. And I believe this is very important. Also, one more place here before I get into more is in 1 Timothy 5:10. For about the widows, well, reported of good works, if she brought up children, if she lodged strangers, that's the word hospitable, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she relieved the afflicted, but if she's entertained strangers. One of the biggest blessings Don and I get when we travel, you would be surprised as we travel in different places how many widows invite us over for a meal. When we go to Minneapolis to speak, and in Minneapolis I find just great warmth and fellowship in the assemblies to speak in, we've got to know many widows who want to bring it to their home, bring it to their apartment. And so it is not just something she may have done while her husband was alive. It may be also that something she is continuing to do. But Donna can attest that we've made many, many friends by being invited to the homes of widows as we've traveled. Now, this practice of hospitality is vital to the church today in the first century. In the first century, it may have lodged people who were fleeing and lodged people who had no resources, and it may help them. But here, sharing in an informal way has a way of opening our hearts and minds to people. And this is where I think the biggest benefit is. It is something where it enables us to get to know people. It enables us to get to understand people, and in something that's not a formal setting. Coffee break is great, isn't it? People don't talk to me much at coffee break anymore because I have to speak so loudly, and I speak and everybody's head turns, so we just talk about the weather and you name it. But coffee break is fine. But invite people in our home. It plays a vital effort in getting close to people, bringing them into the assembly, helping them grow in the assembly, helping them be part of the assembly. That may even have to do with visitors and the lost, opening our homes and getting acquainted with people. It also helps us sometimes get acquainted with people that we might not normally know, fringe people, let's say. I like to invite more than one couple over. Get more people over. Now, one of the things, and I want to be careful as I say this, I don't always turn everything to pity for myself, but one of the reasons why I'm no longer an effective elder, because I can't hear people. See, sitting around the table and listening to people talking, but even listening to them talk, opened my heart to many things. Now I get things second-handed, and second-hand is all right, but you want it first-hand. You want your intuition. You want the Spirit to impress you, help you. But I would listen to people talk. It's not just their needs. Oh, here's a person who's really having a sinful problem. It might be here's a person who was lonely. Here's a person who has a need. Here's a person who has a lot to say, and I never knew about it. Sometimes I've sat across the table from people, and they've started to talk. I thought, this person has greater depth than I've ever given him credit for. I learned it through hospitality. This people has greater insights than I could ever imagine, because they may be quieter people. And that is one of the things that is making me a very ineffective elder. I can no longer hear. I can no longer react. I can no longer think. I get it all secondhand, and secondhand sometimes is useless. It's just what a synopsis. See, a brief review. And sometimes we've invited people to our home, and I know others have, and we invite more than one couple, and they start talking, and they start connecting. And you sit there sipping your coffee, if you're a coffee drinker, and you sit there sipping your coffee, and you're watching them connect. People who might never connect before. And suddenly you realize these people are finding something mutual. And they're built up. and they learn this. So in our time, hospitality isn't just for such as New Testament time to help the people who were suffering financially. But it also is a way to demonstrate to people our care, to listen, to share, to let them get to know one another. And I might say this, and it's not an exaggeration at all. I learned more as an elder sitting over the dining room table with two or three families than I did all week long trying to make a phone call. I learned a lot more. I understood a lot more. So hospitality will help you grow. You may invite someone over, and not just part of our circle, but you may invite someone over and you may suddenly discover, said that they have a depth. They have understanding. Maybe something will click and suddenly you'll realize, this person went through what I went through. Listen to what they're saying. And God opens. God opens our hearts and we learn more. So hospitality is getting acquainted with people in the assembly. And this is probably one of the biggest benefits today. Learning. Having people. Sharing our goods. And making connections in the assembly. And making connections with other believers. And it's been an important factor for our elders here. An important factor. But remember, I wish to say this, that it's just not for leadership. In Romans 12, it is for all. Now, there are some practical things about hospitality. I know this is kind of dumb. It's just practical things. Eh? But, you know, when you open your house to hospitality, you don't have to be a Martha Stewart. Of course, I don't know if anybody wants to be Martha Stewart these days, but you know what I'm saying? You know? Doesn't have to be fancy. Throw a meatloaf and a couple of baked potatoes. Sometimes people come in their homes and we think they're looking whether we've got dust or whether we've acted. Maybe. But I think people more appreciate the openness of sharing. People appreciate the openness of caring than they do whether they're fussy enough to see that we haven't dusted for a couple of days. It doesn't have to be a very special meal. What we are doing is making our homes available to God's people. It also, I know this is crazy, but it demonstrates we're just human beings. See? The old John appears here on Sunday morning, gives some messages sometimes that are really good and sometimes that are real stinkers. See? And old John appears on Wednesday nights and he's either, and that John. That's John. And you come into my home and you learn something about me. If you walk into my study, you learn about my book. But if you walk into my study, you also know that I like old movies. Cary Grant from the 30s, the romantic comedies. Nah, you learned that. Okay? And it showed maybe that we're just not the little elder all of the time, running around with words of wisdom. People come into our homes. You don't have to be perfect that people may notice you. They're glad to be in your home. I know this stuff is so simple this morning, I'm almost embarrassed. But this is what hospitality is. And we become comfortable. There are some important biblical truths involved in this, and one of them is this. We are to share our goods as stewards. We are all stewards. Not only the mysteries of God. You see, that's what we said. We're stewards of the mysteries of God. So take my theology and share. We're also stewards of our goods. We're also stewards of our talents. We're also stewards of our couches, our dining room tables, the pot roast or whatever you eat. And it shows stewardship. We've all been entrusted by God with certain circumstances and certain things, whether it's a home or the table or the food or time or energy, all been given to us by God. So stewardship is more than just being stewards of the mystery of God and being preachers. We are all have been entrusted by God and we are all stewards. And so it's important for us to realize that what God has given to me, He's given to me to be a blessing, to be a help. to be an encouragement, to share, to learn. Over the years, off and on, people have come to me, and I know my answer isn't very profound. Once in a while, people come and say, nobody invites me to their home, and I don't have any friends. And I'll simply say, well, why don't you invite people to your home? So I invite them over. People don't care for me. Invite them over. In other words, hospitality is taking the initiative to understand the people in the body of Christ. It builds bridges. It helps people make connection with us. It helps people make connections with one another, as I mentioned, and build great bridges. I have learned more, as I've said, in my home, talking to people, on long days of fellowship and entertaining, than at any other time. I learn about what it's like at work. I learn where they work and what they do, and what is their burden at work. Or the hardship at work. Eventually I learn something else about them. I may learn gradually some of their disappointments. I may learn that they, as I said before a few moments ago, have a profound knowledge of the Word of God. I may learn that they're struggling exactly the same way I am struggling, and that they have something significant to say to me. In other words, when we talk about New Testament principles in body life, we cannot neglect hospitality. When we talk about the life of the body, we're talking about more than the worship service, more than getting up and using your gift as a teacher. We're talking about more than official functions. We are also talking about opening and sharing and listening and learning, and what marvelous bridges are built. Connection between people. And again, a few moments ago, I said sometimes I don't connect very well with people, but I see them connect over the table. And I realize that God's doing something. So hospitality, to me, is rather important, right? And we involve our family in it. We should do this. Involving our family in it. Making conversation around the table and inviting people. Inviting singles, inviting widows, but involving our family. I can't tell you how many people I have talked to in the Lord's full-time service, not just Dick Yale, many more, who said our home was always open. And I heard some of the best people. I met some of the best people. I heard some of the best stories. I had some of the best knowledge of the Bible given me over the table, that I had a hunger to go out and serve the Lord. And I've heard that many, many times. Larry Crabb, who writes books on counseling. Some people like him and some don't. But Larry Crabb was raised in a home where his parents always shared. His father was an elder at an assembly in Pennsylvania, believe it or not. And Larry Crabb was brought in, invited him off to college, and got into philosophy, real proud. He's obviously very smart. And he would come home on holidays and sit across the table and say, I go break the bread, I do this. And Robert J. Little, an old Bible teacher who moved around, who was pastor at Moody Radio for a while, Plymouth Brethren man, were often stopping home. And Robert J. Little, with his dedication and gentle use of the scriptures, not philosophical arguments, broke Larry Crabb. Larry Crabb, when he shares his testimony, he's deeply moved by having had his father open a home. And Robert J. Little, he said, had a lot to do with him coming back to the Lord and serving the Lord. So hospitality has much of this, and it's important for us to understand. Now, one more thing, the reverse. Don't refuse invitation because you're shy. See? Refuse invitation because, well, I have nothing to say. Well, they're going to find out I'm a real lunkhead, right? They're going to find out my personality is boring, don't refuse. That's the other side of the coin. Don't refuse invitations. Be willing to accept them. And even if you're shy, and even if it's difficult, be willing. I know it can be threatening. Well, if the elders invited me over, what you going to say? Is you going to test my doctrine of theology? No, I may be actually talking to you more about old John Wayne movies from the 40s than I may be your knowledge of theology. See, I liked John Wayne movies from the 40s too. I was a little boy. She wore a yellow rollers. So don't be afraid. It's not threatening. Don't be threatened. Don't feel threatened when you go. We make ourselves vulnerable when we go because, you know, when you talk casually over a table, you talk. And sometimes you might say more than you intended to say. See? We make ourselves vulnerable. Hospitality is a very, very important thing in the church. And it's part of what we call New Testament principles. And it's interesting to me, again, just to close, that it's on the qualifications of an elder. Wow. I mean, an elder is more than just a guy who knows the answers and disappears Monday through Friday. I mean, an elder is more than a guy who just makes sure everybody's behaving themselves, but disappears Monday through Friday. Yeah, the elder's more than that. There's a man with a soft heart, willing to share, willing to make himself vulnerable, willing to listen, willing to be a good steward. So it's important, but as leaders model it, the leaders are modeling it, not so they can do it all, but so others will share. Simple thought this morning, nothing profound, you people. But it's a little reminder of the blessings that come through hospitality. And it's a little reminder that as we bring people in our homes, we get to know them. We may connect them with other people. We may be surprised, as I said some moments ago, at how deep their faith is. We might be surprised at the depth of their knowledge. We may say to ourselves, wow, that person really is in the scripture, really learning something. Hospitality is very important, and it shows we're good stewards. In our time of privatization of everything, in our time of our own private space and our own private lives and our own time schedules and the fact that I have things I want to do and I'm going to do them this way and I have to do them this way, hospitality is a good way for God to bless the body of Christ. Father, thank you for these verses. They're not profound. As we read these verses, we're not wrestling with the profound truths of the mystery of the body of Christ before the foundation of the world. We're not wrestling with the depths of truth regarding the mystery of Jesus Christ and the body of Christ. We're talking about practical things. People who know you and love you, opening their hearts to one another, to build bridges, to be drawn closer, to share, to care, to open their hearts, to learn more. And we know, Father, our homes are great places. You blessed all of us with many, many material things. And our homes are great places for casual conversation, for learning, for sharing, and for building the strong sense of oneness in the body of Christ. So we ask you that you help us to see how important this is. And Father, I know some people's personalities are quieter. I know that it's harder for some than others. And help these people perhaps to see how you might use them. And more than anything else, richly bless us through it. Help us to see that we are blessed and ministered to and nurtured and helped ourselves as we listen to what you're doing through other people. We thank you for these simple truths. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.